1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 6 through 12 this morning. In chapters 12, 13, and 14, Paul is ministering about a very special subject. It has to do with the ministry of God's Spirit. The Christians in Corinth were very carnal. They thought that emotional energy, they thought that having emotional experiences in church and in fellowship was the ultimate experience of the Christian. He starts off in chapter 12 by saying there's one Spirit of God that ministers in a multitude of various ways. And the ways in which God's Spirit ministers is according to His choice and according to His will. And that they were to pursue the greater of the gifts, apostles, prophets, and teachers. Because of the very things in which he's presenting here in chapter 14, it is for the development, the edification. It's an old English word that has to do with building a house. It has to do with development. The most important thing for a believer is not experiences, but development. Growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, make the ministry gifts, those expressions of God's Spirit in the body of Christ that minister through His Word as top priority. Not the sign gifts that point people in a certain direction. Chapter 13 says, even though you have the proper priority, you are to do it in a different way, a better way. That better way being agape love. Last week we saw in chapter 14, verse 1, in the priority of the gifts, first of all, he gave a command. Pursue love. And be fervent. Be eager for the things of the Spirit. But there is a certain priority that speaking in tongues, and remember that tongues means languages. That's the Greek word for language. Because with the tongue we speak. And so in English it is translated straight across tongue. But to a Greek or Hellenistic speaking person that would mean language. In the language, if I came speaking a foreign language, what good does that do the church? He says, but prophecy, or the speaking forth of the Word of God, is what is profitable for the church. Because prophecy is for development, encouragement, and comfort. Coming and speaking in a foreign language and having that expression within the church fellowship means nothing for growth. It does not produce growth at all. So last week we had the command in verse 1, verses 2 and 4, the contrast between prophecy and tongues. And then lastly, verse 5, the concept. He said, I would rather you all spoke with tongues. So he's not trying to prohibit anything that God wants to do. But rather in the church, greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues. Except there be some explanation so that the church might be edified or built up. So last week we had the priority of the gifts. For today in verses 6 through 12, the profitability of the gifts. The profitability or benefits of the gifts. Last, Paul's going to present in this section just in reverse what he did in the last section. In the last section, we had the command, the contrast, and the concept. Now Paul is going to present the concept to us in verse 6. The contrast in verses 7 through 11. And then the command in verse 12. So he's going to save the command for last. Let's read verses 6 through 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, but now, brothers, if I should come to you speaking in tongues or languages, what should I profit you or benefit you if I should not speak to you either in revelation or in knowledge or in prophecy or in teaching? Even the lifeless things, that is, things without life, are giving a sound, whether it's flute or harp. If there is no, if it does not give a distinction with the sounds, how will that which is piped or that which is harped be made known? For also if a trumpet should give off an unfamiliar sound, who shall prepare for war? So also you, through the tongue or language, if you should give unintelligible speech, how should that which is spoken be made known? For you will be speaking into the air. If perhaps there are so many sounds, your English text will say languages, if there are so many kinds of sounds in the world and not one is without distinction or with a sound that's familiar. If therefore I have not known the authority, interesting, this is the word dunamis for power. If I should not know the power of the sound, I shall be to the one speaking a barbarian, and the one speaking to me a barbarian. So also you, since you are eager of spiritual things, the command is seek towards the edification or building up of the church in order that you may abound. So now we have the concept in verse 6. Paul says, if I should come to you speaking in foreign languages, and when I speak, I do not speak either in revelation, notice these four things, revelation, knowledge, prophecy, and teaching. What profit is there to you? The response is, there is no benefit unless the person speaking to a group of believers functions in one, if not more, of these four things. First of all, in revelation. It's exactly what it means. It means to uncover. For God to reveal to us things that ordinarily are hidden. And that is the way it is when it comes to the things of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, man cannot know the things of the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God must reveal these things to us. Me in the natural, in my human ability, I have no ability or capacity to understand the spiritual things of God or the spiritual truths of His Word. It takes the Spirit of God to reveal it to me. And if you're like me, you get very frustrated because God seems to take such a long time to reveal things. I've taught the Gospel of John about 11 times. And each time I go through the Gospel of John, something new, fresh, even though it's been there the whole time, God reveals something new. But, like I say, not something new outside of the Word, but a revelation about what God's Word is saying. It's frustrating because it takes time, but if the ministry of God's Spirit does not reveal the things of Christ to you, when the person is speaking, there is no profit or benefit in it. Or knowledge. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, we are those who grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the workforce world, there's a slogan that says, knowledge is power. The more you know, the higher up you get within the world system. It is God's appointed way that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we come together, it's not just head knowledge, but knowledge in revelation. As God reveals the knowledge and information about the things of Christ to us, we grow and we are built up. Thirdly, prophecy. Remember, prophecy means The presenting forth of the Word of God. The presenting forth of the Word of God. You say, what is that different than teaching? When they're both used together, prophecy has to do with announcing the gospel to both believers and non-believers. But teaching is for believers. That's the fourth thing. So if a person does not come and by his speaking, God's Spirit, reveal the truths of the things of God, or he does not minister the knowledge of the things of God, or there is not a proclamation of the gospel there, or if there is not a teaching of the truths of Christ there, there is no profit and there is no benefit. Now remember what he had said before, back in verse 3 of this chapter about prophecy, that prophecy does three things. It ministers development, encouragement, and comfort. He is now mentioning four things by way of ministry that contain within these areas of revelation, knowledge, prophecy, and teaching comes development, growth, understanding, awareness. When someone comes to speak in a foreign language to the group, where's the benefit? Where's the profit? There isn't any. Especially when we get into verses here in a couple of weeks, the only place in the New Testament where it actually teaches you and instructs you about tongues, that's verses 20 to 25 that we'll take in a couple of weeks. The fact that tongues or foreign languages is for the non-believer, not for the believer. It is a sign to the non-believer. So what good does it do to come together and start speaking in foreign languages? Has nothing to do with Christian growth. Has nothing to do with spending time in the knowledge of His Word or having God reveal truths to us from His Word or hearing the gospel proclaimed or hearing the gospel taught. Nothing. These four things, these four areas, revelation, knowledge, prophecy, and teaching, are the only areas. That's why the preposition "en" for "in" comes before each one of these. It's found in the location of these four areas that we find our growth. Secondly, verses 7 through 11, the contrast. He says, even things without life, whether it be flute or harp, he's now going to focus on instruments, they have no life to them, but people play the flute, people play the harp. If there is no distinction in what these instruments are saying or expressing, then there is no understanding and there is no knowledge. Have you ever gone to a concert and the orchestra or the band was warming up before everything started? What a mess. Each person with their instruments going all over the place, trying to tune their instrument up. They're not all playing the same song, and everybody in the audience is talking and moving around and trying to get settled, and the orchestra, each individual person is going off on their own little ritual of how to tune their instruments and get warmed up. And none of them are playing the same tune, and none of them are playing the same song or even the same note. Paul says, if you bring instruments into your worship service or into the room, and start playing the instruments, and there is no distinction within the sounds. It's just noise. And not only am I playing my flute one way and you're playing your harp another way, is that there's so much confusion. So what benefit or profit is there? Verse 8, his second illustration, the trumpet. This would be the bugle. If there is no intelligible sound to it, something that you recognize, who is going to prepare for war if you don't play the notes necessary to know you have to get ready? I can remember in the military. They used to play, of course they don't play the trumpet and the bugle anymore. They have a sound system, and they play the recording on a cassette, or it's probably CD now. When it's time to wake up, the sound system comes on, the bugle sounds. And you know the sound. You know what song it is. You know the notes. You know it's time to get up. When there's taps, it's time to go to sleep. There's also a time on the taking down of the flag. And wherever you are on base, when they take down the flag, there'll be a bugle come over the loud system, and you're supposed to stop your car and just sit and wait until the coast is clear. The trumpet or bugle plays a certain sound, and it tells people what to do. Well, if the bugle or the trumpet does not play a sound that one recognizes, and the bugler comes out to play the trumpet to get ready for war, who's going to prepare for war if they don't know what the sound is? So it is with speaking in tongues versus prophecy and the giving forth of the Word of God. All it is emotional excitement and sensationalism to get together and do what they call tongues today, which, by the way, is not tongues. That which is being experienced in the church today is not the tongues that the Bible is talking about. In fact, he mentions it in verse 11 about the word barbarian. The word barbarian comes from the Greek word barbar. And to a Greek-speaking person, if you were not speaking Greek and you were speaking a language that was not Greek, it would be barbar to him. Just repeating the same syllable over and over again. It means nothing. It's just a sound. A barbarian speaks in a language or speaks things that just no recognition. What is being exercised in the church today is barbar. A bunch of people getting together, and they call it speaking in tongues, and when they come out with these ecstatic emotional utterances, and each one does it their own way, and it's all mixed together, and it's all this energy expressed towards praise to God, supposedly. We will see at the end of this chapter, Paul is going to say, if someone who is unlearned come in, they're going to say, you're mad, you're crazy. God wants to communicate the gospel to that person. God wants to teach. God wants to reveal things to people. God wants people to gain knowledge and understanding about the things of Christ. What is this? It's just applying a biblical concept or name to an emotional experience. The tongues that's mentioned in the Bible is a known language that is spoken to someone of that language as a sign to them from somebody who has never known that language. It's a God-given ability to speak the gospel message so that the person will say, explain to me how I hear you speak the gospel, the mighty things of God in my language, and you don't know my language. How is that? And so the person who is used for that can say, this was a sign to you. This is God telling you that the message that I'm about to give to you about Jesus Christ is the truth. So first of all, we have the harp and the flute. Second of all, in verse 8, we have the trumpet. Who's going to prepare if there's an uncertain message played? Verses 9 and 10, so it is with tongues. He now has the application in verse 9. If I speak with a tongue and speak with something that is not intelligible, you don't know what it is, you don't know what it's saying, you have no revelation, you have no understanding, there is no teaching in it, it's just noise. And intellectually, you cannot tell. Nothing will be known, and you will be speaking into the air. It just goes in the air, it's gone. It is an experience, but it's not a ministry. And that is not of God. Verse 10, he says, there are many sounds in the world, and there's not one sound that is without some kind of intelligence or familiar sound to it. So it is with the things of God. Verse 11, there's the Greek word un, therefore. So he's now summarizing verses 7 through 11. Therefore, if I do not know what is being spoken to me, or the other person does not know what is spoken in me to them, I am a barbarian to them, and they are a barbarian to me. Barbar. Confusion. No growth. Then the command in verse 12. You are eager for spiritual things, he says. But rather seek for the development and edification of the body of Christ in order that you may abound. The command is that when you come together, there are a priority of the gifts. There is a priority that is profitable. The priority is, since you are very eager for spiritual things, then the command is to seek the things that are for the edification, development of the body of Christ. So that you may abound, so you can continue to increase in your growth, increase in your understanding and in your knowledge and in the understanding of the things of God. You see the priority, and you can, now he tells us why. Because once you're saved, the only thing that spiritually, I emphasize the word spiritually, the only thing that spiritually benefits you after you're saved is when God's Spirit ministers His Word to your heart and reveals to you things about the Lord, things about yourself. The only benefit is when the Lord teaches you by His Spirit, when the Lord gives you the understanding and the knowledge by His Spirit. Because once you are saved, because there's two aspects to life. First of all is being saved. But once you're saved, the most important thing after you're saved is the transformation of your mind. Romans 12:2, Paul says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." To be able to look at life the way the Lord looks at life, to be able to understand life and to understand God the way God understands things to be. To see Him in everything. To know that He's there and know that He's working. To be able to put our trust and faith in Him because of that awareness. That's what life's all about. Getting together as Christians in order to have emotional experiences, it only develops the emotions, doesn't it? But to go through the boring process, and I emphasize the word boring, because boring is a fleshly term, not a spiritual term. The flesh can be tired, the flesh can be bored, mainly because the only thing this book, the only message this book has for the flesh is that you are being crucified. That's not too exciting. The message of the Word of God is for our spirit, for the inner person where Christ dwells. So it's going to be boring for the flesh, but we trust that God's Spirit, as we said the first hour, where God said in Isaiah 55:11, He said, "I'm going to send out my word by my Spirit. It shall accomplish my purposes. It will not return void, but accomplish everything for which I sent it." We gather together like this, trusting the Lord, that where two or three are gathered in His name, He's in our midst, and that He is ministering. We trust that because this is His way, yet might be boring. For God's Spirit is ministering the truth of His Word to our spirits, and He's transforming our minds in spite of ourselves. I always use the carnal illustration, but it gets the point across. If you want to go out and get some sun, kind of brown up the arms and legs a little bit, kind of get some color to the face. You go out and you sit out and expose yourself to the energy of the sun. You don't have to understand it. All the concepts of how does my skin get a little darker, or how do I get color on my face by sitting out in the sun. You don't have to understand it. It's just exposing yourself to its power and to its energy. So it is with the things of God. We don't need to understand. We don't need to put forth effort. He just wants us to sit under His Word. And the power and the energy of God's Spirit takes the truth of His Word and ministers to us. And that power and that energy shapes and forms and transforms the spirit, not the flesh, and changes and transforms the mind. There is a priority, and that priority has a benefit or a profit to it spiritually. And yes, it is true, the more spiritually focused you get, the less there is for the things of the flesh. Yet God allows us to share together with food and fun and fellowship at times. But you see the focal point here. It's for growth. Next week we're going to study verses 13 through 19 about prayer. About the prayer language that people talk about using tongues for prayer, and how should we be praying. We're going to discuss that next week as Paul, through his word, instructs us about the things of Christ. The priority and the profitability. You know, the great thing about the Lord is that He gives us a choice. We can go to whatever kind of Christian fellowship we want to, any kind of church, any kind of program. We have the freedom to choose. We try to seek the leading of the Lord for that. But basically, the Lord has put a smorgasbord out there to say, choose what you want. Do you want something that entertains you? Do you want something that appeals to the sensations? Do you want emotional experiences? Do you want my spirit through my word to change you and transform you? It's all out there. Take your pick. And even though over the years I have prayed and desired that the Lord would bring persecution to the church so that it would get rid of all the fluff and all the frivolous activities, God has seen fit to leave things in place in order to give His people a choice. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says everyone is to take heed how they're building, because all Christians are building on the same foundation, Jesus Christ, but some are building with wood, hay, and stubble, and some are building with gold, silver, and precious stones. He went on to say every Christian is going to pass through the fire. That's not hell. It's a fire of judgment. Every Christian will pass through the fire, and everything that is not of Christ is going to burn. So those who build with gold, silver, and precious stones, it's going to pass through the fire. Those Christians who are building with wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to burn. Will they be saved? Paul says, yes, they will suffer loss, but they will be saved, such as through fire. Not everyone's going to be the same in heaven. And right now, Satan has a big distraction going on to the Christians in the body of Christ. He's putting out the bait. You don't need to sit there bored anymore in church. You can come and get entertained. Come and have some fun. Come and have some programs. The exact same people who continue to go complain, my spirit is not getting fed. That's right. Remember what the Psalm said about the children of Israel in the Old Testament? God gave them their heart's desire, but sent leanness to their soul. We can choose to go down the hard, difficult path of growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, or we can seek to be entertained and make this pilgrimage a little more enjoyable for the entertainment side of our life. Eternity is the goal. That's where we're headed. We're just passing through here. But we have a choice to receive God's instruction from His Word or to choose another route. Next week, Paul will speak to us about prayer. In fact, let's close with prayer right now. Our Heavenly Father, thank You again for Your Word. Paul wrote to Timothy and says that Your Word is good for instruction and correction in righteousness. May it correct us and may it instruct us. May it keep us on the straight path to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's where the growth is. There's where the change is. And how we desire change, we must also desire the trials and tribulations. For through them, You shape us and form us and transform us. We thank You for the choice that You give. We thank You for Your faithfulness to our hearts to lead us and guide us in all of our ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.